Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, Alan Hahn with Key this morning with you as preseason week two underway. Last night, the Eagles got throttled by the Patriots 35-0.
Steamrolled.
I mean, just embarrassing in Philadelphia right
Shellacked.
Now. But you also did get performances out of Cam Newton and out of Mac Jones for the Patriots. And boy, that competition's really heating up, Key.
Anyway, y'all need to stop, man. It's, yeah.
I know. I'm with you. Cam looked really good, and I feel like that's the end of that conversation, right? There's nothing left to say about that. But in Green Bay, yeah. We know Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, right? Like, we know that part of it. But Jordan Love, you were hoping he would at least show something. Or if I'm saying you're hoping, I mean Brian Gutekunst, right? If you're the Packers, I need to see something out of this guy because I don't know what I'm going to have in quarterback at the end of the season. Aaron Rodgers could go. They gave him that right. That could happen. But Jordan Love got hurt in the first preseason game and really hasn't practiced much or maybe at all this week. So Matt LaFleur was asked if Jordan Love will play this weekend against the Jets.
I don't want to rule him out yet, but I would say it's probably unlikely. We're going to be smart with it and do right by him. But he like any competitor, naturally, you want to be out there and get that experience.
How important is it for Jordan Love to play, Key?
I think it like Coach LaFleur said, though, it's important for him to get out there and get that experience. And it's not about the long-term success, and I'll say this again. It's about right now. It's about understanding what you have behind Aaron Rodgers just in case you need a guy for one or two games if something were to happen to Aaron Rodgers this season.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have a viable backup, in my opinion.
Blake Bortles is experienced, at least. I know you don't love him, but he did play.
Yeah,
like he's taking snaps in the NFL, which is something Jordan Love's never done in a regular season game.
The rest of the team see Blake Bortles, too, and they've seen Blake Bortles.
Yeah, I understand.
So that alone takes some of the air out of it. When you have to think, oh, God, we got to go with this guy.
Wait. Blake Bortles already was cut. This shows you how I
– Wait, he just got cut?
He did.
What?
So wait.
Oh, a few weeks ago.
A few weeks ago?
Are you sure?
Man,
because whatever.
I mean,
it was 3 weeks ago that Blake Bortles got cut, guys.
It was 3 weeks ago. I was on vacation.
Shows you how I was too. I looked at that like, well, all right, at least you have a guy that's taking a snap in the NFL.
So
how confident are you guys in Kirk Benkirk?
Oh, my God.
Not confident at
all.
Change the conversation.
So hold
on.
It's critical that this guy
plays
now. Oh, my God.
You see where I was coming from now.
Man.
Right? And I didn't even realize Blake Bortles was cut.
We were both away.
I was away. I had no idea he was gone.
Oh, my God.
And I've been saying this for days, and nobody's corrected me. But it's one of those situations where it's not about – the future is about right now.
Yeah.
And they need to evaluate who's my number two before we can worry about 2022. And I think that is why it's important for him to get on the damn field.
Wow. Yeah, now it's even more important because they really don't have an option after Aaron Rodgers. And we don't know if Aaron Rodgers – I still think he's going to stay. Like, I don't think he's leaving Green Bay.
He probably won't, but I'm not going to worry about that. I'm like Aaron Rodgers right now. I'm just going to just kind of take this season and watch it and see what happens.
Yeah. That's got to be the story there in Green Bay, but still.
Thanks a lot, Pat Costello.
No. It's good that
I didn't cut him.
You know what? I didn't cut him.
You can use him in Philly.
That's the problem, though. Need a better breakfast. Get ready for your day. You know what's good breakfast?
What?
I make the best pancakes. You take green apples.
Mm-hmm.
And you mash them up into like an applesauce. You put them into the pancakes, into the mix. It's like moist, perfect little crepes.
But delicious. Two, that's dessert for me.
That's dessert?
Yeah. If I'm going pancake, it's just the butter and the syrup. I cannot. When you start playing with it and doing stuff to it,
What am I playing with? I'm just making them extra moist.
You got
all.
The applesauce. Yeah. That's sweet. That's the dessert.
Are you an apples guy? Like you just don't like apples?
Like a regular Granny Smith green apple or a red apple?
Yeah,
it has to be cooked with something. Like I'm not that guy who walks into a hotel lobby and see an apple in one of those big bowls, take it, brush it off, shine it up, and then bite into it.
Oh hell no.
No. But if I want a quick snack and I'm somewhere and apples are slicing, there's some cheese or something like that, or some caramel sauce or peanut butter or something, I could eat it that way. But just that
what
guy.
What do you mean? You slice them up with like some Nutella, like you're in?
No, Nutella.
Preschool?
Yeah, no, not Nutella. No, that's preschool.
Yeah.
That's second grade, mommy in a lunchbox.
But I am.
But the apple?
I don't eat, like you mean, you're saying, right? I'm the same way. Like the apple, like pick it up and just start like crunching on it? No, I'm good. Like there's no reason to do that.
I don't think I've ever bought an apple in my life.
And just ate it.
Lies, and more
who
lies.
Who does that?
Or who buys apples and take them and put them in their refrigerator or not when they go to the grocery store if they're not using them for apple pie or something?
Something.
Like
if you're not cooking with it, what are you doing?
No, my go-to fruits would be the kiwi, the strawberries, blackberries, raspberries.
Oh, yeah.
And that's pretty much it, and bananas.
Right.
That's it. I don't do oranges and all.
Orange is all right. To me, orange is too much work.
It's a lot of work.
It's a mess.
Every now and then.
How could you?
Cherries. I grab cherries.
Yeah, grapes.
And some grapes.
You pick some grapes.
Easy
delicious.
Stuff to deal with.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, that's, again, like
a hard-ass
that's how
apple.
They're intended to be eaten, as just like, you know, pick at it, eat at it really, real simply. But an apple?
No. I'm purchasing apples for my daughter to make.
You just sneezed on your shirt. Now you're going to, you know.
Oh, rub it.
You're gonna shine it up.
That guy with the knife and the little apple slicer, switchblade, or whatever.
A friend of mine had a switchblade. Yeah. Right? He was like they called him Rocco. Like what are you doing with a switchblade? Like, what are we in the '70s? You're in a gang now, some street gang in the '70s. Warriors. So he was sitting there one time and he's like slicing an apple and he would like spike it with the switchblade and eat it like it was with a fork. Like you're trying to look tough. You're eating an apple. Back off.
That's
like, relax. It's an apple.
Well, if the Green Bay Packers, they don't figure out how to get a backup quarterback in there, they'll be eating apples.
You trying to bring it back to football? I thought the apples conversation
was
was
the
important.
Worst transition I've ever heard.
What?
Well, no. How do you like them apples? But, you know, though Pat did do some research, though. For some reason, he decided that he needed to Google something.
What happened?
And that is how many apple seeds can you consume before it is bad for your health? Apparently, it's between 150 and several thousand.
But why?
Because there's cyanide.
Why would you?
Apparently, there's that would be enough cyanide to kill you at that point.
But why?
In case anybody was wondering.
Who chews an apple down to the core?
No, I don't think you should.
Because you're not getting to the seeds, basically, until you get down to the core, right?
I've only seen a raccoon do that. So, Pat, why would you Google this, first and foremost?
Curiosity, mostly.
That's just on your mind right now.
I mean, what else is going on?
Is that how exciting the show has been for you? Is that how exciting the show has been to you, where you're like, your brain goes in that place that wonders how many apple seeds it takes to kill yourself?
Apple pancakes.
It's delicious, man.
Dessert.
No.
It has to be dessert.
It's not dessert.
It has to be.
Yeah, the apple bar cookies is the other thing now.
Yeah, you can. Any
other apple-type breakfast would be really nice to find out about.
I'm sure people will be telling
you.
You
want some more tweets, by the way?
About
Chris said it's no surprise that Keyshawn disrespected his coaches.
I almost
Jermaine
cursed.
Wiggins said that almost, you Parcells almost, would never yell at you because you'd yell back at him.
I almost cursed just now. I almost cursed. First of all, what's this dude's name? What's his name?
It would be Chris.
Chris doesn't know anything about me and my relationship with my coaches. Just because we go back and forward doesn't mean that I'm disrespecting my coaches. Bill Parcells and I got the father and son relationship. So, Chris, shut the hell up.
Well, there's a lot of that goes on.
Be quiet.
I've told people that, too.
Don't even know what the hell you're talking
there's
about.
There's media that would go, like, when we're allowed to watch scrimmages or something, and you'll see two players start barking at each other, and they really get into it because it's just play like a scrimmage. I used to be that, like, at Nick games or Nick practices, and I'd see a scrimmage. And right away, you get some guys grabbing their notepad going, oh, they don't like each other. Big problem with this team. I'm like, no, that's two competitors.
They don't even know
that
people.
Absolutely are just their dogs going at each other right now. And that's if I'm a coach, I'm like, I love this.
First of all, my NFL career wouldn't have been as promising as it was if it wasn't for Bill Parcells. I played for Bill twice and almost played for him a third time in Miami.
He brought you back in, right? Mm-hmm.
So, and he was the person who told me to retire and go to ESPN. Shut the hell up, Chris. People like that get on my damn nerves.
He's the one that told you, Key, it's time.
Yeah, it's just people like that just don't even know what they're talking about. Hey. Dude, they never met me, don't know nothing about me.
But they are getting to know you because they listen to the show, and that part is the most
important.
Well,
he's probably a guy who will tell you he doesn't listen, but yet and still he's listening.
Every day, yes. But Jeff does tell us that we're missing out, though, on the apples. He said his wife and I, they keep – the wife and he keep apples in the fridge and have a snack at night.
Yeah, see.
Jeff revealing a lot more about he and his marriage.
That's good, though, man. That's good.
Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. So coming up, Joe Burrow is teaming up with one of his former teammates, and Key thinks it could lead to big things in Cincinnati. We'll discuss next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and on Sirius XM, Channel 80.
The beginning of the season. Oh, man, I want to be in that moment. This is one of them things where you say, man, I wish I had that right now.
Are you ready? I'm ready.
This is Marty Smith, and I'm ready.
This is Keyshawn Johnson. The Dallas Cowboys are ready.
This is Matthew Berry. The Syracuse Orange are ready.
This is Alan Hahn. I'm ready.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and continues all day right here on ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Apple Conversation has
taken off.
Has morphed into, of course, one of our spinoff conversations, and the tweets are good. We'll read them. We promise. We like the reactions. We love the fact that you're at least listening. We don't care if you disagree. That's all about life. That's life. Disagreeing. Meanwhile, as we talk about the coming NFL season, there are four quarterbacks this season, Key, mm-hmm. who have been reunited with college teammates. So, when you think about it, I'll give you. All right, so. Mentioned Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase. Mm-hmm. Again, the Bengals decide to go that route with the wide receiver instead of going with a tackle. They could have gotten Penei Sewell. They go with Ja'Marr Chase instead of the LSU connection there. We saw last night, well, we didn't see Jalen Hurts, but we saw Devontae Smith make his debut in the preseason. So Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith as well from Alabama. More Alabama, Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Waddle. So they are together now in Miami. And then two rookies in Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne. And the two of them now together with Urban Meyer in Jacksonville. Out of that group, which one do you expect the most out of?
I would probably say Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Because mm-hmm. they want to throw the ball in Cincinnati. He's got T. Higgins along with Boyd. They got Joe Mixon in the backfield. And they are not far removed from college together. So they have this natural rapport. And when you know that that's your guy, you tend to want to get the football in his hands and let him become something special.
Does that rapport carry over even though the game is a little bit different in the NFL? Or if you're the Bengals, you find what worked for them in college and put that stuff in the game plan?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
What worked for them in college, you put in the game plan. And also the fact that I know you. Like, I already trust you. We good. Like,
that's a big word.
Yeah.
Trust.
Oh, it's already. Yeah. You know, that's why certain quarterbacks trust certain receivers, no matter what the situation is. When I was with Vinny here, and when Vinny in Dallas, I was his guy no matter what the situation is because he trusted me that I was going to be there. He felt it from before.
You already have the timing.
You already got everything. You already know, okay, he's going to do this. Mm-hmm. And so same thing with Chase. So Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith have been away from each other for a little bit, so they've got to kind of get back together and in sync and they're still learning together. Joe Burrow's already been in the NFL, but I think Jalen Hurts over the long haul and Devontae Smith certainly could have a rapport depending on what the offensive system allows Devontae Smith to become. They've got to understand what he is and not try to make him to something that he's not.
Right. And Smith again, was a freshman, right? Well, he caught the pass.
Touchdown, that was from Tua.
That was from Tua, but obviously Jalen Hurts started that game.
Yes.
So he was really the guy that year when they were in the championship and Devontae Smith was still a rookie. He still looks a freshman. He still looks the same size.
Yeah, he's
– that's the biggest concern about him is obviously size, but speed is definitely there because he is open.
No, for sure. He can run.
Yeah.
And then when you talk about Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne.
Yeah, that's different now because it's not a wide receiver. It's a running back, but
– they're trying to make him – I don't know what Urban's doing. I think they're trying to make him a receiver or something weird like that. He's going to be like a jack of all trades and a master of none. That's what he's kind of going to be for.
Like a Le'Veon Bell kind of role?
No.
Or more of the McCaffrey role?
I think they're going to be lining him up in the backfield, but also splitting him out wide to try to take advantage of his receiving skills.
Okay.
So his success could potentially be – he still could have some success, but it won't be – like a Devontae Smith or like a Chase. So when then you look at Miami and Tua and Waddle, depending on how that shakes out at the receiving core, because they're deep. They're running about 7 to 8 deep at the receiver position in Miami right now. And so depending on what that looks like, is he going to be an every down wide receiver, or is he going to be a return specialist and a gadget player? Based on what they do offensively. So that's one of the reasons I think the Chase is going to have the most success right now. That doesn't mean long term.
Well, that's where I was
right
going.
Now.
Yeah, that's where I was going next. Out of this group, again, you know, we've done a lot with duos and trios over the last couple of days of what we think are the best in the league. But out of the four here, and the one thing they all have in common is it's all young. This is all young guys. We haven't really seen this as much until just now. The fact that Jacksonville decided to go in that route, the fact that the Bengals said, let's get the teammate, let's get Joe Burrow, a guy he knows, another weapon.
Well, teams.
You know, that was a decision. They decided to go that route based on not just that they think Chase is good, but he also has that relationship with Joe Burrow.
No, what happens is that the scouts who are the regional scouts compile this information and give it to the scouting director, college scouting, and he passes along to the general manager. So I draft you from my school, but I'm drafting you this year. But while I'm there, I'm watching. I got so much information on this other guy, and now all of a sudden we need that position. And it happens where you like, I remember my senior year coming out, well, my junior year. Tony Boselli was our left tackle for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And the Jags would come and they would do everything for Boselli, but they're watching everything else. And they're studying, and they see you showing up on film all the time. And they take Rob Johnson. They took one of our linebackers. They had like four guys off our team that went to Jacksonville the year before I came out in 95. So I come out in 96. They wanted me badly at 2. And they had receivers, but they had seen me so much that it's like a natural thing for those scouts to go, Think about the Raiders. Just I'll use them as an example. Because they decided to draft the Colin Farrell kid out of Clemson, they've got like 6 dudes on their team now from Clemson because they've been there so much looking at those players that they naturally kind of fall in love with the other guys, and they need that position as well. So they're like, I'm comfortable with him.
How much input do you think Burrow had in this?
Well, I think it goes down to we're going to take a receiver. Here's 3 or 4 guys that we like. How is Jamar? What's his study habits? Did you get along with him? And then he goes, man, I'd like to have him. He's really good. And then they go, okay, check that box. Does he like football? Yeah, he loves it. Check that box. Does he have any bad habits? No, he doesn't have any bad habits. He's a great guy. Check that box. So he gives them the information and the detail over and beyond what they may collect at LSU. And now we know he signed off on it, so it must be good.
Out of the groups we're talking about here, again, Hurts and Smith, Chase and Burrow, Tua and Waddle, and then Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne. Which of the four are you most concerned about? Saying, I don't know if this is going to work. Like, they might not be together for long.
I would say that the Tua and Waddle.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because I don't think Tua could be there for long. I just don't.
You don't see him as a long-term solution there, huh? You still think, like, when Deshaun Watson, when that stuff. They have always been. I mean, that's been their thing. Their target has been that.
They were sniffing around Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
So, you know, and there's so much uncertainty.
I'm surprised you didn't say Hurts and Smith.
No, because I think Hurts is fine.
You think he's going to be? You think he's the long-term solution there?
Absolutely.
And Smith will be part of it?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. I honestly do.
All right, so then, again, going back to –
I believe both of them probably outlast the coaching staff.
Going back to then what you said about Tua, then what you just don't think he's the guy?
I don't. I just don't think that he's the guy that
– For them or just as a starter in the league?
For them. For them. In Miami. Because what is it that Miami is trying to do? They're trying to get at the same level as New England and Buffalo.
Yeah.
The only way they're going to get there is by having a quarterback that can get them there. And I don't know that he is the guy right now. This is the same guy that said last year he didn't really retain the information that was given to him.
He didn't know the playbook.
From the playbook standpoint. Mm-hmm. He also is dealing with three different people communicating to him about what the play is potentially going to be.
What does that say, too? That the fact that they have so many people in his ear, does that suggest that they feel like they almost need to be on top of him about everything? Like, does that kind of suggest that? I don't know if he understands it, so we really got to be all over him.
In college football, you have different roles of guys doing things. Clemson had a lot of success with dual coordinators. Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian were dual coordinators at USC for a short period of time. College, you have – the pros are different. The pros are way different. You think about it, a guy is a run game coordinator, pass game coordinator. He wants to run the ball at this play. He wants to throw it at this play. It's just – it becomes very difficult, and it's a lot of more pressure on the professional level than it is at the college level. And it's egos involved to the point where this offensive coordinator is trying to get a head coaching job. So he's trying to show you what he can do.
But that can't – like
– I'm just telling you.
In the beginning, though, when you're – like if you're Brian Flores and you're approving of this format, there's got to be a part of you that's thinking, all right, here's our reasoning for it. And then once you're in that, then it becomes –
Great idea, bad execution. Have you ever heard of that?
Of course.
Great idea, bad execution.
Yeah, that's how you sum up my hosting career. but that's the concern then in Miami is that you're not sure he's the guy. But not what about Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne?
It's so Jacksonville to me was such a bad team last year that it's like, and Etienne is a running back. They're trying to get him to become more of a receiver potentially.
Right. But what I mean is, like, when I was saying about the ones most concerned about, that's you're not concerned about those two?
No, I'm
like,
not.
You just said you don't even know what they're going to do with them.
They're going to build the team. They have the number one pick, man. So they got to build. They got to build this roster, the team. It might take 2 years to figure it out.
Right.
I mean, you know, I don't know what they are.
Right. So that's why you can't really judge it because you don't know what they are, but you can judge Tua and Waddle. Because you kind of know already
Miami's a competitive football team. They tried to win a lot of games last year, and you know it was very evident that they wanted to win games based on how they played the quarterbacks last year.
Right, right, and right now again with the Patriots, looks like they've rebuilt. If they're going to be a formidable team in that division, suddenly Miami's got to look at it as not we're just fighting the Bills, we're also fighting the resurgence of the Patriots as well. So certainly a story, a quarterback story of the second years to watch Tua in Miami coming up. Tune into an American League battle Sunday as the Indians host the Angels. Presented by Samsung Galaxy, coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and at 7 p.m. on ESPN. Coming up, we love to play the game Hot News or Not News. We go around the NFL and we'll tell you whether or not you should get your hopes up about Mac Jones starting. That comes up after SportsCenter. So here we go. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, in the past, we've had Jeremy Fowler on the Goodyear Hotline. We get to have him in studio right now.
Absolutely.
Good morning.
Thanks
look
for having
you.
Me.
Look at, all, look at this, all neat and clean.
Yeah, showered and everything. Yeah,
sure. Showered and everything.
It's a good little setup here.
Not as much when you're at home and it's like, you know, I'll keep the buttoned up and the jacket on, but whatever I got going on down here, it's none of your business.
The basketball shorts.
Where are you from?
So I live in Farmington, Connecticut, which is right outside of Bristol.
But where are you raised?
I'm from Orlando, Florida.
Oh, okay.
A lot of good football products down there.
All right.
It's the real deal.
Nice
yeah.
and tan.
Yeah. Well, it's summer.
Well,
you know, we do get tan in the summer,
I didn't
man.
See there you. I get tan too.
See, I went to the West Coast for some NFL training camps, came back, and my wife thought I looked like a lobster, so it finally evened out. I was like bright red for a while.
What camps did you do?
So I just did – I went to Raiders, mm-hmm. Chargers, Rams, and Cowboys.
Wow.
So I did a little 14
swing. You hit the Niners?
I wanted to. That's an extra flight, though. So I could fly into Vegas and then do like a swing and drive around about, you know, 4 hours there, 4 hours back. I should have checked out San Fran, though. That was the QB battle. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, just quickly on the Raiders, though, the offensive line rebuilt again. Like, what's – when you look at that team, is it their defense that you're – wait, are they ever going to get good enough? Or is it the rebuilt offensive line? Like, which one is it?
It's the former. Yeah. Like, even watching them, there are a lot of just sort of random parts put together that you think Gus Bradley will be more organized enough to put together and make it cohesive. But we just don't know yet. So at least they have that pedigree of the coordinator. Offense, I think they'll be fine. I mean, Darren Waller, you know, they got some young pieces they like. Like Brian Edwards is a receiver they really like. Hunter Renfro is coming along. So I think they'll be able to move the ball. Okay, it's all about that defense.
Renfro just has to keep it to himself if he beats.
How about that?
That story is a good
Jalen
one. We'll
took
get to
a
that.
Little offense to that.
Yes,
yeah, like,
certainly
on,
did.
Seriously?
I watched film. He said, okay. Like, don't put that stuff out there. Anyways, all right, Jeremy Fowler's with us, and we're going to play hot news or not news around the NFL. So let's begin with this one. Jeremy, I think it's pretty easy. Hot news or not news, Mac Jones' performance in week two of the preseason.
I'm actually going to say not news because I think the hot news is Cam Newton showed progress. I think he had to because Mac Jones had been applying the pressure on him. Talking to some people around the league, they thought, okay, Cam's got to show up a little bit in week two. Mm-hmm. He did that. They moved the ball. Okay, he was throwing deep a little bit, which is nice to see. And, look, the Eagles' second, third-team defense is really bad. Like, we've seen that through the first two preseason games they played. I think their first-string defensive line, those guys are good up front. It's going to take – you know, the backups are not great. So, like, Mac Jones should be moving the ball against them.
Well, see, it's hot news to me because that means that Mac Jones is continuing to show progress. Yeah. As far as people feeling like he was pushing Cam Newton, I don't think that really, in all honesty, was the case. I think that he was needed to show that he belonged in the National Football League as a quarterback and New England Patriots future. Mm-hmm. And I think last night, again, after the first week, follow that up with a good performance the second week, whether it was the second, third team, whatever, he was still able to just give you some glimpses of over time he could potentially be the answer to Tom Brady. Well, not maybe not the championships, but that long-term success at quarterback for New England.
Yeah, looking for the successor, basically.
Yeah.
Maybe they did actually find him. That would be the best news to come out of training camp for the Patriots. All right, hot news or not news with Jeremy Fowler. Jalen Hurts not starting due to some stomach bubbles yesterday.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's hot news in part because I was told he had a really good week of practice. Mm-hmm. Like, he was not going to play very much anyways, maybe a series or two max, because they put a lot of emphasis on those joint practices they've had. They're having one next week with the Jets, did the Patriots this past week. And I'm told, like, even some people who were at the practices from the Patriots, from other teams, are like, he's probably more accurate than I thought, probably a little better than advertised. So he's surging a bit, I would say. So the fact that he didn't play, I know there was an illness was a factor here, but it was sort of a good sign that they didn't feel like they had to get him in there anyways. I feel like he's in a good spot. We don't know what's going to happen with the Deshaun Watson rumors or what's the future at Eagles quarterback, but for the short term, I think it's pretty clearly this guy.
Yeah, hot news because I wanted to see him play.
Yeah.
I wanted to see him go up against a Belichick defense in preseason number two, where now all of a sudden there's a little more game planning going up against a guy opposed to everything week one, vanilla, cover three, throw the ball in front. Well, now they may start to do some things as they get geared up defensively for the regular season. A little more exotic things start to come their way. And I want to see if he could process that information and then go and get them.
Yeah, and all the things that are being said about him from his teammates alone, you know, how much they really like him, that says a lot about Jalen Hurts. All right, hot news or not news, Jordan Love not playing due to a shoulder injury.
I'm going to say hot news. They need to see him play, and they need to be reassured. Like, they know what they have for the most part. They know he's not ready to be the starter right now. I don't think one preseason game is really going to change that, but it's more for his confidence. He can get out there and have a really solid preseason. They liked what he did last week. He had some really good moments. And so it's complicated, right? Like, it's like, let's say he plays next week and does okay. Then that's really all you have for the whole year. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers has said he doesn't necessarily want this to be a farewell tour. I'm told there's been like a renewed spirit over there in Green Bay since Rodgers came back. There's like good energy. Guys are practicing harder. They love that Rodgers is back. So they're going to make this run. And then the Packers have to decide, like, are we just going to move Rodgers out the door and start Love, or are we going to beg him to come back? And they kind of need to see enough from Love to feel one way or the other, and this is one lost opportunity.
It's hot news, and Jeremy's talking about the future of the Green Bay Packers. I'm talking about the now. Like, Aaron Rodgers has missed time in the past due to injuries and things of that nature. Who the hell is their backup? I mean, I've been screaming Blake Bortles for like the last 18 years, and he's not even there anymore. So it's like, who's the backup?
It shows you how little we paid attention to it.
They need to pay attention to their backup because we've seen the Green Bay Packers when Aaron Rodgers had missed time and DeShone Kizer along with Brett Hundley took over, and that was a disaster. So they got to figure out who the number two guy is.
That's why they want him to get these reps so he can be ready for that. Yeah,
absolutely.
Like, forget the future. You're right.
Yeah, just in case. All right, we continue. Hot news or not news, Jeremy Fowler joining us here in studio. Justin Fields will play this weekend despite – groin issues this week.
Yeah, it's hot news because people want to see him. Yeah. And, you know, he's probably going to do pretty well, and social media is going to hyperventilate. And, you know, the Bears really, though, are trying to be measured in all this. I continue to hear it's Andy Dalton's job, and they're going to sort of roll with that. I think it would take a lot for Matt Nagy to change his tone. I really do. I think he's being sincere in the media and what he's saying. This is their plan all along. They felt like Fields is going to be a process. He's getting better command of the offense every day, but it is Andy Dalton's job. And I think week one against a good Rams defense and a bad offensive line for the Bears, that they're just going to let Andy take those reps. Here you go. You can have those.
It is hot news, much to like Jeremy is saying. Yes, we all want to see Justin Fields just like we all wanted to see Jalen Hurts and we all wanted to see Jordan Love. We want to see what this is, because the moments that he gave you in the first preseason game against the Miami Dolphins, if he continues that, yeah, they may throw Andy Dalton out there to get eaten by the Lions, or better yet, the Rams. And when you look at it, it's like, okay, you're giving us something, but we got this guy over here that the team feels good about, and we're not going to lose too many games messing around, so go ahead and just insert him in the lineup before the season's lost.
All right, hot news or not news, Jeremy? This one is close to the heart for me. Carl Lawson of the Jets tearing his Achilles.
I'm going to say it's hot news because, you know, he was their big free agent signing. We're talking a $45 million deal, 3 years. He had come out hot. He was looking great. This is a guy that the Bengals probably should have paid. Didn't have the big sack totals, but he's just known as like a disruptor. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to build this team inside, in offensive line, defensive line. And this was sort of embodying that. But the thing is, the reason why it's maybe not news is because they're not ready
yet.
They weren't going to win 10 games this year, I don't expect. So it's like, this is more about let's develop.
They're going to win five games.
Wait, right. Why?
I got him five. But let's take a step, you know, and Lawson symbolizes a step. And so it's sort of a step in the wrong direction. But this year is largely about Zach Wilson.
It's hot news because, like Jeremy said, that you sign a guy, you're hoping that the one unit on your team can be strong and he can be a part of it. And if those five games that you do win, the defense is probably going to be the unit that win the five games for you.
Yeah. Yeah, and now, of course, he's missing. So maybe he'll be back in time for next year.
So now you only win four games.
So maybe they have a shot at
four. Come on.
Competing, that would be nice. Good to see you, Jeremy. Thanks
for having me, guys.
Jeremy Fowler, ESPN senior NFL reporter, joining us in studio, giving us that straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. All right, so coming up, we play Take It or Shake It. LeBron might be trying to steal something from Michael Jordan, and I took that kind of personally. That's coming up next after Key has this from DoorDash.
DoorDash here with Summer of Dash Pass. Right now, Dash Pass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. Need a nightcap? $10 off. Got a cough? Get relief delivered for less. Want to surprise your crush? Send a gift and save. Try Dash Pass for free and get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees year-round. Get more from your neighborhood now with Dash Pass in the Dash app, of course. And stay cool out there because it is hot. It's the summer. Term and conditions apply.
A Football Friday on the way with me, Greeny, and Daryl Moose Johnston breaking down what we saw in the quarterback battle in New England Thursday night and a whole lot more. Don't miss it. It's Greeny starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Take it or shake it time. And who better to bring in to host Take It or Shake It
than our own.
Than a man who is mourning just like I am about the fact that the football season is over before it's even started.
Boop.
Pat Costello, resident Eagles fan. Pat, take it away.
I can think of multiple people who'd be better to bring in, but you got me anyway. Take It or Shake It, brought to you by Grainger. LeBron is doing his best Michael Jordan impression by taking it personally that he received zero votes for best player. Take It or Shake It.
Take it!
Take it!
Take it! Yeah, of course, take man. It. But it's some hate, some shade, whatever you want to call it, because he deserves a vote.
Why do you care?
Because it's going to fuel me.
Oh, you need this for
my
fuel.
Next championship.
This is what you need?
It's part of it.
I thought you were chasing ghosts.
It's part of it.
I thought you were trying to be the goat.
It's
I thought that's what fueled you.
It's all part of it.
What else fuels you?
It's all part of
it. Oh, give me a break. This is all about that. Like, look how much of a competitor I am. The maniacal competitor, just like Jordan. Stop it.
Everybody does that.
You are the best. Everybody knows you're the best player in the league. Just because some scouts aren't saying it, aren't giving it to you, stop. I mean, eventually, by the way, Father Time is going to catch up.
Not the best player, not the award.
No. He didn't get a single vote by his scouts and GMs.
He's supposed to get a vote?
For best player in the NBA.
You mean to tell me he can't get a vote? Because the best player in the NBA right now to me is Kevin Durant. That's the best player to me now.
Yeah, KD did.
But he can't get one vote?
No.
Oh,
no.
That's
he clearly
hate.
Didn't.
That's some hate,
I'm
though.
Not saying I wouldn't vote for him, but I'm saying he didn't get one. But for him to turn that into a whole social media, thank you, I needed that. What do you need? What more motivation do you need than the fact that people still don't think you're the best of all time?
Because certain things make people tick a different way. That's all?
I don't know. If you're an athlete and you need like that kind of disrespect to make you work
but that's
hard,
more about,
maybe you're not working hard enough.
No, but I think it's more about me going back at you and having some fun
that's
with
what
it
that is.
Then I don't work hard.
Remember, as Michael said in The Last Dance several times, and I took that personally.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what he's doing right now.
In between a couple swears, but that's fine. Derek Carr is better than Matt Stafford. Take it or shake it.
See, that doesn't – because I think they the same.
So instead of take it or shake it, we'll just
same. You said what?
It's the same.
Yeah, same. But I honestly think they're the same. I don't think that they're the same type of quarterback for me.
All right, let's make this clear. Keyshawn Johnson is saying on his radio show KJZ on ESPN Radio that Derek Carr and Matthew Stafford are the same quarterback.
Look at the numbers. Look at the numbers. Both of them in their career in the first seven seasons since Derek Carr and Matthew Stafford, seven seasons. Okay? Both of them. 64% for Carr, completion percentage, 61% for Matthew Stafford.
That's better.
Okay? Touchdown interception rate.
He played in more games, too.
Yeah, but touchdown interception rate. Carr, 170 touchdowns to 71 interceptions. Mm-hmm. Stafford, 163 to 98. He's a pick machine. Okay? The yardage. Carr, 26,896. And Matthew Stafford, 25,976. And that's not the same? Don't y'all go off numbers? Ain't that what y'all always screaming?
First seven seasons, yes.
Yes. So that's the same.
Now, remember, Derek Carr's first seven seasons was from 14 to 20. Stafford's was from 09 to 15. So Stafford has also evolved as a since 2014.
But if you look at the numbers since
173
Carr,
touchdowns, 71 interceptions.
But look at Carr, since Carr got into the league and where Stafford started,
right.
They're the same.
Well, that's what I'm telling you. So Stafford since 14, however, and Carr since he got into the league, that's the same, right?
It's the same guy.
And the numbers are remarkably the same.
Same guy.
173 touchdowns, Carr 170. 71 interceptions, the exact same as Carr. 27,000 plus passing yards, 26,000 plus for Carr.
Same guy.
64 for Carr, 65% completion for Stafford. And 104 games for Stafford, 110 games for Carr. So you're right.
That's the same guy.
Key, you're right.
The Rams gave up too much.
Player.
They gave up too much for Matthew Stafford. They could have went and got Derek Carr for a two and then traded Jared Goff somewhere else. But maybe they just like Stafford. They feel like – and think about it. Derek Carr never had Megatron, who just went into the Hall of Fame with a gold jacket. Best receiver he ever had was Amari Cooper for 3 years,
yeah,
I think
for
it
a little
was.
Bit. Right.
Yeah.
Whew. That's a good one. So that take it or shake it became same?
Same.
Same it. Same. All right. Guys, Shohei Ohtani and the Angels take on the Indians this weekend. This Sunday Night Baseball preview is brought to you by Samsung Galaxy. Shop the impressive Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 3 5G
and XY
Z
Banana
3 5G at Samsung.com. That's tough to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, see? Ohtani, y'all been making fun of me.
Yeah, it's tough to say, isn't it? Huh?
Let's just do this now. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is always there to help. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Shohei Ohtani is having the greatest individual season in MLB history. Take it or shake it.
Greatest individual season in MLB history? I'm
taking it.
Take it!
Take it.
Yes!
I think, I mean, I don't know, like, what we're, the premise is
well,
here.
Well, let's put it this way. The greatest like individual season, meaning everything he's doing. Like that's like
but everything, yeah, that's
guys
what
who have won
saying.
The
everything,
triple crown where they're, you know, like Barry Bonds has had some of the greatest seasons in MLB history as
but
an
Barry
individual.
Bond, but Barry Bonds,
pitched.
I was about to say, Barry Bonds never went yard and then eight innings at the same
struck
time.
Struck out nine.
Yeah, struck out nine. He went yard the other day, eight innings and struck out nine. Hey. And then had to run around the base.
What he's doing is basically he is the best two-way player in the history of the game.
Absolutely.
He is the best. Ridiculous. Like, you can give me anybody that's a great fielder.
I just
fielder.
Wish he was a Dodger.
Of course you do. But take anybody that's a great fielder, gold glove, and also a great bat. Nothing compares to what Shohei Ohtani is doing this season. It is absolutely remarkable. And the Jets make me sad.